With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Why don't you ask me what it feels like to be a freak?
The power of a new generation.
Greetings, and you are listening to Savage Science Radio here at Jackalope 105 FM, and I am your host, Tracy Savage. Let's get some tunes to start this night off right.
We'll be right back.
to Savage Science, and let's get you your EV report for the week. Nathan Fillion of Firefly fame and Arcimoto unveiled the SRK electric car prototype this week. It seems like everyone's getting in on the whole electric vehicle thing these days, which is good. At a recent unveiling for Arcimoto's new three-wheeled, two-passenger electric boogie machine, Nathan Fillion of Firefly fame hit the stage to say, quote, "Thank you for giving me a way to stick it to big oil and big auto companies," unquote. I guess there's no mistake what his stand is on that. The Arcimoto SRK takes a somewhat different approach to passenger seating. Rather than having your buddy next to you in the front of the car, the one single passenger will have to sit behind you like they would if you're taking out, say, your fighter jet or motorcycle for a hot lap. Now, the vehicle boasts a 65 mile per hour top speed and an 80 mile range when running on the optional lithium iron phosphate battery, also called the LiFePO4, if you are just looking at it when you read it in type, that's what that is. And the range gets cut in half if you choose to go with the less expensive lead acid battery option. Now, Arcimoto is still in testing stages with their three-wheeled green machine, but if you want to follow in the footsteps of Arcimoto's first customer, Nathan Fillion, you can pre-order one of these at $17,500 rides right now with nothing more than a $100 deposit. Wow. That's pretty interesting. And to make it even better, if you change your mind and want to continue clogging our skies with your four-wheeled gasmobile, you can get a refund. So check that out. And Nathan Fillion was, like we said, at the unveiling on April 23rd, and you can watch the video of his really entertaining thank you note that he wrote to Arcimoto, and they have a video of it. All you have to do is go on YouTube and look up Arcimoto, Arcimoto, Red 5, and you can watch the entire 15-minute video of his thank you note. It's pretty funny. I'd put it on the show, but it would take too long. And a little bit of sad news in the world of tech for a lot of people who have fond memories of typing away. Remember the Night Stalker in the beginning, he's typing on his typewriter. Or, you know, in the old days, you know, you think of the hack sitting at their typewriter typing out the latest Pulp Fiction. Well, and, you know, I had a typewriter. I think I might still have it somewhere out in the garage. It was the end of the line. Last typewriter factory left in the world closes its doors this week. An India-based company has just a few hundred machines left in stock, and it's an invention that revolutionized the way we work, becoming an essential piece of office equipment for the best part of a century. But after years of sterling service, that bane for secretaries, and yes, I've been one at one time, has reached the end of the line. Gradridge and Boyce, the last company left in the world that was still manufacturing typewriters, has shut down its production plant in Mumbai, India, with just a few hundred machines left in stock. Although typewriters became obsolete years ago in the West, they were still common in India until just recently. Now, demand for the machines has sunk in the last 10 years as customers switched to computers. And the company's general manager, Milan Dukle, told India's Business Standard newspaper, "We're not getting many orders now. From the early 2000s onward, computers started dominating, and all the manufacturers of office typewriters stopped productions except us. Till 2009, we used to produce 10,000 to 12,000 machines a year, but this might be the last chance for typewriter lovers. Now our primary market is among the defense agencies, courts, and government offices," which tells you how much technology is out there in the agencies, courts, and government offices, right? The company is now down to its last 200 machines, the majority of which are Arabic language models. And the firm began production in the 1950s when Prime Minister Nehru described the typewriter as a symbol of India's emerging independence and industrialization. It was still selling 50,000 models annually in the early 1990s, but last year it sold less than 800 machines. The first commercial typewriter was produced in the U.S. in 1867, and the turn of the century we had developed into the standardized format, including the QWERTY keyboard that we know today. So a little bit of sadness for our nostalgia. And if you want one, hop on over to eBay or get to your local thrift store, because you might have yourself a collector's item. And some troubling news in the world of technology. Customers sue Apple over their iPhone location data collection. Oh boy, this is not good for them. And two Apple customers have filed a lawsuit accusing the Cupertino, California company of committing violations of computer fraud laws by recording location data of iPhone and iPad customers. One of these iPhone customers in Florida and another one in New York, which was an iPad customer, filed the suit in federal court April 22nd in Tampa, Florida. The accessibility of the encrypted information collected by Apple places users at a serious risk of privacy invasions, including stalking, the lawsuit states, and you can see that in PDF form if you look it up. The lawsuit revolves around a discovery publicized last week that a file stored on Apple's mobile devices contains a log recording geographical data that dates back as far as 10 months ago. Wired.com reported last week that Apple acknowledged a letter to Representative Edward Markey, he's a Democrat from Massachusetts, last year, that the company deliberately collects anonymized location data from mobile devices in order to build a comprehensive location database that provides improved location services to customers. And if you think about it, remember when we talked about how they were looking at how many tweets were tweeting about earthquakes? They said that that might actually even be faster than the seismology services that we're utilizing right now in the world of technology in science, in the geographical sciences. So now, or geological sciences, I'm sorry. So when you look at the amount of technology and how it's being utilized, these people are looking at trends and whatnot, and this is more than likely the reason why they're looking at who's using what and where the densest population is in use of their products. They didn't really say exactly what other information they might be gathering, but basically it was just location data so far. Now, both of these individuals allege that Apple has violated the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act by intentionally accessing the location information without authorization. Quote, by secretly installing software that records users' every moves, Apple has accessed the plaintiff's computers in the course of interstate commerce or communication in excess of the authorization provided by plaintiffs as described in the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, unquote, the lawsuit says. Now, both of these people are seeking class action status to represent U.S. iPhone and iPad customers. The complaint seeks an injunction requiring Apple to disable the data collection in a software update, and it also seeks damages for violations committed. So you can check that out. It is all over the internet. Just look it up. And to be fair, Steve Jobs came out and he made his first comments about the iPhone tracking argument that's going on. And he has denied that the company put his customers under surveillance. And he says, we don't track. And the details are emerging of this Apple patent to create searchable map based on iPhone owners' locations. And that is also in the news, but we thought we should, you know, come out and make sure that we had the other side of the story. So we'll see how this plays out in court. I'm sure that they'll bring all the necessary documents to prove whichever side of the case that they're on. And in news for humans, soothing loneliness with Facebook, plus mapping crowds and making a good first impression. What you see is where you go. By considering a pedestrian's line of sight and travel speed, researchers have created a more accurate model of how people navigate crowds without bumping into each other. Most such models consider human traffic flow in terms of physics, but the point of view approach is more realistic. Researchers in Europe argued this online April 18th in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Collision physics does play a role when modeling super dense crowds. Coordinated behavior ceases, giving rise to turbulence. And Facebook's lonely pool, the world of the internet. Social networking site Facebook may temporarily distract some people from feelings of loneliness that can't be soothed by computerized buddies. A team led by psychologists Ken and Sheldon of the University of Missouri in Columbia found that college students increasingly use Facebook as they feel more socially isolated. Students reported feeling closer to others when using Facebook, but at the same time described feeling lonely and unappreciated in their daily lives. The researchers reported this in the April Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Loneliness encourages some people to turn to Facebook friends, providing temporary emotional relief, but leaving larger problems unresolved, Sheldon proposes. Very interesting article, too. Transparent first impressions. Well, oddly enough, putting one's best face forward helps to reveal one's true self to others. Speaking of self, college students more accurately discern personality traits and intelligence levels of peers who attempted to make a good impression in videotaped interviews compared to volunteers who acted naturally. Which would happen after the first impression, says psychologist Lauren Heumann of the University of British Columbia in Vancouver and her colleagues. People who try to present themselves in a positive light display a sense of confidence and involvement that draws close attention from others, enhancing observers' ability to discern what impression managers are really like. The researchers proposed this in an upcoming Social Psychology and Personality article, so you might want to check that out when it comes out. And teamwork. Well, if you're anything like me and you like to watch Ants when you were a kid, that E.L. Wilson has an entire career based on this. Part of the reason why I went into biology. Teamwork keeps fire ants high and dry. Now, the physics of how they turn their bodies into life rafts is being studied, and the waterborne colonies sometimes contain tens of thousands of bugs, and they keep themselves afloat on water. Linked together, the ants can form a watertight seal that keeps them from drowning. Engineers from the Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta reported it this week in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Now, the whole is bigger than the sum of its parts, which we've always heard, says Julia Parrish, a zoologist at the University of Washington in Seattle. The properties of the group displays are not necessarily predictable by just looking at one individual. Now, fire ants, S. invicta, an invasive species around much of the globe, are well prepared for disaster. When their Brazilian homes flood, entire colonies, including queens, workers, and workers carrying larvae, take to the sea. They have to stay together as a colony to survive, says study co-author Nathan Mlott of Georgia Tech. They're double-decked rafts. About half the ants float on the bottom, holding the rest up, and they can bob along for days or even weeks, believe it or not. Now, the ants' seafaring success comes down to both small and big properties. On the small scale, single ants can walk on water, at least to a degree, similar to a floating pin or water-striding insect. When wet, the fire ants can also capture tiny air bubbles, probably thanks to thin layers of hair covering their bodies, giving these intrepid mariners added buoyancy. On the large scale, individuals weave together so tightly by biting onto their neighbor's legs, ouch, but hey, you gotta do what you gotta do when you're in the water and you're an ant, right? That the water can't sneak through the cracks. The ants that make up the hull of this boat touch the water but never sink. Now, the ant rafts are flexible enough to withstand some jostling. Mlott and his colleagues filmed the emergency raft construction by dropping congealed balls of up to 700 ants into the water. No matter how many bugs clung to the rafts, these structures adopted the same 8-millimeter thick pancake shape. When the team plucked ants off the top, others from the bottom just crawled on up. Now, these dynamic structures emerge entirely out of basic cues, Mlott suspects. In other words, ants don't think about what they're doing. If a space opens up on top, the bugs just simply climb up. Now, each ant is operating on a few simple rules of engagement, he says. Now, with these simple rules, ants have been able to build extraordinary structures, says Eric Clavins, who's a computer scientist at the University of Washington. Also, and many human engineers, on the other hand, build robots in their own images, bulky and with lots of processing power. But by studying how ants interact, engineers may be able to design robots that run on smaller processors that can work in concert to build things like emergency bridges, he says. Man, ants are cool, and yes, they are. Now, you can look up. This is on YouTube. You can go on Science News. You can look on Vimeo. When the flood strikes, the ants ride out the storm in the self-assembled ant raft, and they show the groups of about 1,000 to 7,000 bugs spread out in the water to form this raft of uniform thickness. So very, very interesting and fascinating. I watched it several times. And what's all this talk of robots and humans? Well, this brings us to this week's special presentation, which we haven't had a sci-fi presentation in a while, of Dimension X. The first air date was on May 13th, 1950, and this is Almost Human. A gangster tries to take control of a childlike android for his own evil ends, but the android may have other plans. Stay tuned.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense.
Dimension X.
Have you heard of the new science called cybernetics? It concerns man's efforts to develop a perfect thinking machine, a robot electronic brain that will not only do man's work, but even do his thinking for him. A robot that is almost human. No, it's not impossible at all. In fact, one day something like this may happen. A tall, suave gentleman in a black raincoat will walk down the street until he reaches a shuttered, isolated house. Then he will slowly mount the front steps and push the doorbell.
Just a minute. I said just a minute. Hold your horses. Who do you think...
Good evening, my dear.
Duke.
Looking lovely as ever. Can I come in, Lola?
Why did you come here?
Curiosity, darling. I've been thinking over what you told me at our chance meeting last week.
Duke, you promised me
I decided to come and take a look for myself. Where's the professor?
In his study.
Anyone else in the house?
No, just the professor and I.
Where's Junior?
In the nursery.
The nursery? Oh, quaint. And you, I take it, are Junior's nursemaid?
I help the professor.
Tell him he has a guest.
Duke, he's a nice old guy.
Tell him, darling.
All right.
Yes. What is it, Miss Williams?
Professor Blossoman, a gentleman is...
What? Here? I don't understand.
He's waiting for you.
But I gave orders. No one was to be admitted to the house.
He insisted.
Very well. Now, you wait here, and I will get rid of him. Sir, what can I do for you?
Professor Blossoman?
Yes? How do you know my name?
I've come to see Junior.
Junior? Oh, there must be some mistake. There are no children in this house.
Professor, what you feel pressing against your belly is the muzzle of a .45 caliber pistol.
Oh.
Now, shall we visit Junior?
What do you know about this?
I know everything. Shall we go inside?
I warn you.
On the contrary, I warn you.
Very well. This way. This is the nursery.
Where is Junior?
In the next room. Behind the door is the panel in it.
Very considerately furnished. Mother Goose figures on the walls. Blackboard, toy blocks, panda, bunny rabbit doll. Touching. All right, let's see him.
Now you can look through the panel.
Well, well. Who'd have believed it? Junior isn't very pretty, is he?
Oh, I wasn't concerned with aesthetics.
Why do you hide him? Is he... dangerous?
Oh, you see, the world is not yet ready for such a thing. Besides, I must study him. As you can see by his play, he is very young, hardly out of the cradle. I'm educating him.
With nursery rhymes?
The brain is undeveloped. It must learn its behavior patterns like any infant.
Oh, come now. You call that 8-foot monster an infant?
Ah, physically, of course, he will never change. He is built of chrome, steel, and glass. But his brain, oh, that is my wonderful instrument. Unlike a human, he has no heritage, no basic instincts such as love or hate. But this is none of your business.
This is making it my business.
Well, then in some respects, he is like a blank tablet. What is written upon the tablet will remain.
You mean he has no feelings?
He will learn quickly, very quickly, because his brain is not blocked by emotional considerations.
Most interesting.
Yes. Now, if your curiosity is satisfied, I trust you will keep my secret. If anyone discovered at this point...
Open the door.
I beg your pardon?
The door. I want to see Junior in person. I almost said in the flesh.
Now, look here. I don't know you. I don't know how you learned my secret. Only Miss Williams and
the
I
door,
are supposed...
The door, Professor.
Very well. Junior. Come here.
What a monster.
Papa?
He talks?
Of course. Mentally, he is now about 6 years old. Yes. Now, what is it, son?
Who is that man, Papa?
No.
Let me handle this.
Yes.
You may call me Duke, son. I've come to meet you.
That's nice. Nobody ever comes to see me except Lola. Miss Williams, do you like to play with blacks?
Why, yes. Nothing the Duke enjoys more than playing with blacks.
Play with me, Duke?
Certainly, Junior.
But I don't understand what you're trying to do. Who are you?
It's quite simple. I came to play with Junior. We're going to be friends, Junior and I. When I finish playing, you can have Lola... Miss Williams, prepare my room.
Your room?
I forgot to tell you. I've decided to stay until the climate changes and I can go out again.
No, no, this has gone far enough. You break into my home. You force me at gunpoint to open my laboratory. And then you tell me you are moving in. I won't stand for it. I'll call the police.
I'm sure the police will be interested in Junior. Newspapers will be delighted to print your obituary, too.
What do you want?
I told you. I want a comfortable room, no rumpus with police. And an opportunity to play blocks with Junior. Agreed?
Oh, you are hiding from the law?
As you wish. Now, leave us alone, Professor.
Yes, 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 I will.
All right, Junior, your move.
Let's build a bridge.
I have a better idea, Junior.
What?
Let's build a coffin.
A coffin? I don't know that word.
I'll teach you, Junior. I can see the professor's been neglecting the moral side of your education very sadly. Lola. Oh, Lola, you're wonderful.
You shouldn't have come here, Duke.
Why not, my dear? You're not afraid of me.
No. I'm afraid of myself. You're no good for me, Duke. You always brought me trouble. Duke, what have you been teaching that thing?
Nothing, honey. I've just been playing with him. Very educational.
I don't believe you.
What's eating you, Lola?
Today, when I walked in there, he said to me, I know how to kill people, Lola. I'll kill you if you want me to.
He's learning very quickly.
Oh, Duke, I'm scared of that thing. It's unholy. A machine that acts like a human. With that voice grinding at you and saying things you'd expect from a child.
You dislike him so much. Why did you take this job as his nursemaid?
I answered an ad. I wanted to start over again. The professor didn't ask questions. I would have been all right, too, if you hadn't come along.
I'm very glad you did tell me, darling. Because Junior is going to make us two very successful people.
How do you figure that?
You don't think I spend hours each day playing with Junior just to kill time, do you? I'm improving his mind, darling.
Improving
like
his
any
mind.
Child, Junior listens to what he's told and imitates his parents. Right now, his parents are you and me.
Ha! Couple of fine examples we are. I don't know what you're teaching, Junior Duke, but I can guess. And it isn't right. It's evil.
Oh, my dear, you know me better than that. What makes you think I'd teach a child anything evil? I never taught you anything evil, did I, darling? Well, did I?
Yes. Yes, you did. Only you taught me to like it.
Now, Junior, right on the blackboard, my name is Junior.
My name is Junior.
People are evil.
People are evil.
Evil must be destroyed.
Evil must be destroyed.
The professor is evil.
The professor is evil.
The professor must be...
What are you doing?
I warned you to keep out of the nursery, Professor.
What are you teaching him?
I said get out of here.
Junior, what are you doing?
Go away.
Junior, you don't even remember me, Junior.
I know you. You're Professor Blossom, and you want to keep me as your slave. You didn't tell me about things, about outside. You didn't tell me that people are evil.
No, people are not evil.
Yes, they are. They must be destroyed.
Oh, stop it.
I'm not a child any longer.
No, you are not a child. You are a monster.
Junior.
Yes, Duke?
Remember your lesson.
Yes, Duke.
The time is now, Junior.
Yes, Duke.
Oh, keep away from me.
Now, Junior.
Yes, Duke.
Junior. Junior, don't do it. Listen to me. Junior, listen to me.
I did it, Duke.
Duke, I heard... Horrible.
Can we go away now, Duke? I don't like it here anymore.
Yes, Junior, I think we're ready to go away now.
Duke, why did you do it?
The professor was in the way. We have to move very quickly now, Lola.
We?
Of course, if you don't plan to come along, just say so. I can have Junior write your name on his blackboard.
Duke, you wouldn't.
We'll go to Charlie's.
With Junior?
With Junior.
Oh, Duke, you can't. I'm afraid...
Relax, my dear. I have great plans for you two. Wouldn't you like to be independently wealthy for the rest of your life?
The only way you get that way is by inheriting a million.
Not when you have a fellow like Junior around.
Duke.
Junior is mine. He obeys me. What you might call a mechanical stooge.
I'm still afraid of him.
Lola, Junior wouldn't hurt you. You wouldn't hurt Lola, would you, Junior? You remember what I told you about Lola? You like Lola, don't you, Junior?
Oh, yes. I like Lola. She's pretty.
You see? Junior's growing up. He thinks you're pretty. Just a wolf in steel clothing, eh, Junior?
She's pretty.
All right, we're wasting time. Okay, Junior, mesh gears. We're stepping out into the big, wide world. Sit down, Charlie.
Yeah, sure, Duke.
Ola and I are going to hide out here for a while. We'll need some help.
Listen, Duke, I'm trying to keep the cops away.
You wouldn't refuse the Duke your hospitality, would you, Charlie?
Well, it ain't that,
Good.
Duke.
Good. Now listen to me. I need a casing job done.
Casing job?
You know the Armored Truck Service?
Yeah, sure.
I want to know when they take the Acme deposits from Boston to Worcester.
Well, Duke, you ain't thinking of a payroll truck, are you? They got cannons on those trucks. They travel in pairs. You couldn't get near one of them.
I asked you to do a casing job, Charlie.
Yeah, sure, Duke. Anything you say.
Well, find out what time they pass the narrowest and most deserted stretch of road.
If you're going to pull a job like that, you'll need 50 men. You want me to get some of the boys?
I won't need anybody. I've got somebody.
Where?
He's out in the car.
What's his name, Duke? Anybody I know?
His name is Junior.
I don't know any Junior.
You will, Charlie. You will.
Smoke, Sam.
Oh, thanks, Al. Oh, it sure gets hot in these armored trucks.
Hey, you get used to it after you've been driving one for 15 years like I have.
How much we hauling this time?
About $250,000.
Brother, could I use a hunk of that?
Yeah, who couldn't?
We ought to be coming into Worcester any minute now. It's almost midnight. Yeah, what's our first stop?
Acme National Bank. Then we unload a payroll at the Bronson Watch Plant.
Gee, I wish we could open a window and get some fresh air.
We can get that after we unload. It's a rule of the company that we... What's that up ahead?
It looks like something shiny in the road.
Throw up your spotlight.
Right. Holy smoke. You see what I see? Looks like a mechanical traffic cop.
About 8 feet tall.
Standing right in the middle of the highway. It must be a Halloween gag. Can you get past him?
I don't know. We'll have to slow down. Get on that gun, Sam. Let's take no chances.
All right.
I'll give it the horn.
It don't budge.
Where's our escort truck?
It's pulled up right behind us.
Thing won't move.
Sure looks like something out of Buck Rogers, don't it?
This is a heck of a note blocking traffic like that. We'll have to try and get past it.
It looks like you might squeeze by on the shoulder.
Here goes.
Holy smokes, it's moving. It's coming toward us.
Yeah. Get on that gun. Give it a blast.
The bullets are bouncing right off it. It's still coming. Look at the eyes. Al, back up.
I can't. The other truck's right behind me.
Al!
It's lifting its arm.
Al's gonna smash our window!
Jeez. If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. Duke, we gotta quit this.
What's the matter, Charlie? Getting shaky?
Oh, you know me, Duke. Takes nerve. Charlie's always been right there. But this, the papers say he killed all four drivers. Listen, Duke, that robot is hot. We gotta get rid of it.
Stop your blubbering.
I don't mind a little heist, but killing four guys...
You know, Charlie, for a fat man, you certainly have a slim mind. You ought to take a lesson from Junior. He doesn't worry. He doesn't even know what a policeman is. He has no conscience. He never sleeps. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't even want a share of the profits. All we need is one more good robbery.
You ain't gonna pull another one.
Why not?
Count me out, Duke. You have to lamb out of here with Lola and that thing there. I'm getting too jumpy. The law's gonna track that baby.
Are you quite finished, Charlie?
You got no heart, Duke. You're like Junior, all steel inside.
And you're just a big, warm-hearted slob.
Well, I got nerves. I can't stand the thing. The way it looks at you with that iron face and the clanking around it.
Hello, Junior.
Hello, Duke.
I've just been talking to Charlie.
Yes, Duke?
You know what I think, Junior?
What, Duke?
I think Charlie's yellow. You know what happens to people who turn yellow, don't you?
Yes, Duke.
Tell Charlie.
They're evil. We have to destroy them.
You see, Charlie? Junior has a sense of values. He doesn't like people who sing to the police.
Now, Duke, wait a minute. You know I never turned stool or anything like that. I never sang to the coppers in my life.
But you'll sing to Junior, won't you, Charlie?
What?
Sing Junior a nursery rhyme.
What do you mean, Duke?
You heard me. Sing Junior a nursery rhyme. Maybe Little Bo Peep. Junior likes Little Bo Peep.
Duke.
Sing it.
What? Little Bo Peep has... Duke, listen to me. I didn't...
Sing it, Charlie.
You can stay here as long as you like, Duke. You too, Junior.
You see, Junior? He's yellow. Sing it, Charlie.
Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them.
Junior?
Yes, Duke?
Leave them alone. And they'll...
Now, Duke.
Now, Junior.
And they'll come home. Duke!
I stopped him, Duke.
All right, Junior. Clean him up. Take him down the cellar.
Duke, I was in the other room and... Charlie! Oh, Junior, put him down.
Take him down to the furnace, Junior.
Yes, Duke.
Oh, Duke. Duke, you can't...
Relax, darling. Stop shaking.
Duke, we can't stay here now.
No?
We've got to get out of here. Charlie's going to be missed. He's got friends. Now we'll have the gangs after us, too.
Stop worrying, darling. I'll take care of everything.
Where are you going?
Out to a travel agency. You and I are going to take a trip, Lola.
You're leaving me alone?
There's nothing to worry about. The roadhouse downstairs is closed. Nobody will bother you.
Oh, that doesn't frighten me. It's being alone with that thing. I've got the jitters, too.
It'll only be for the afternoon. I've got to get reservations and plan this thing. Look, honey, 48 hours, you and I will be on our way to Switzerland with $500,000 worth of loot.
What about Junior?
Junior will be taken care of. Pity I have to do it. I'd kind of like to send him out on his own. Why not? He has a fine education. He could go out into...
Stop it! How can you get rid of him?
Junior will do anything I say. So I'll merely have him get into the furnace and sit there while I fill it with oil and set fire to it.
Oh.
Too bad the professor couldn't have stayed around to see him growing up. He's almost a man now, Junior is. But not quite as clever as a man. He'll find that out after he steps into the furnace.
All right. But do it now, Duke, before you leave.
There's no time now. Keep your chin up. I'll be back about 8.
Duke, you are coming back, aren't you? You wouldn't leave me.
Leave you? I have big plans for you, Lola. You see, I find you very attractive.
Oh, you're not good for me. I don't want you.
As long as you can tell yourself you're not really kissing me because you want to, why not enjoy it? I know you, Lola.
Yeah. You know too much for one man.
Well, I'm going now. Be nice to Junior while I'm gone. Don't show him you're afraid of him. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Duke.
Lola?
What, Junior?
Lola? Oil me.
Duke might not like it. Can't you wait till he gets back?
I want you to oil me, Lola.
All right.
I'd like you to oil me.
Yes, Junior.
Are we going away from here, Lola?
Yes, we're going away.
That'll be nice. I don't like it here. I want to see more things. I want to see a roller coaster.
Where'd you hear about a roller coaster?
I read about it in a book. Charlie gave me a book.
No.
Will Duke let me ride on a roller coaster?
I don't know. Maybe.
You like Duke, Lola?
Why, certainly.
Do you like me?
You know I do, Junior.
Lola?
What?
Who do you like best? Me or Duke?
I like you both, Junior.
Yes. But who do you love?
What do you know about love?
In the books, man and woman love.
Oh.
Lola?
Yes?
Do you think anyone will ever love me? I'm different. I'm a robot.
You want somebody to love you, Junior?
I want something, Lola. I guess that's what I want. It's very lonesome being a robot. Do you think it makes a difference?
I think some women can fall in love with anything, Junior. Even with a man like Duke.
Why, Lola?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because, well, as long as she thinks her man is the smartest and the strongest.
Oh.
Where are you going?
To wait for Duke.
Oh, he won't be home for a while.
I'll sit in the hall and wait for him.
All right, Junior.
I want to be alone and think.
About what?
I read in a book today it was bad to kill people. What does that mean? Bad?
Bad? I don't know, Junior. Guess it's just a word.
Lola?
Hello, Duke.
Oh, it's you. What are you doing sitting in the dark?
I was waiting for you, Duke.
Oh, that's a good boy, Junior.
Duke, Lola oiled me.
Well, that's nice. Tell you what, Junior. I've got a little job for us down in the cellar. Let's go down there.
Now, Duke?
Right now, Junior.
All right, Duke. Are we going away soon?
Yes, Junior, we're going away.
What's in the cellar, Duke?
A little surprise for you, Junior. You'll find out.
Duke? Is that you? Junior.
Hello, Lola.
I thought I heard Duke come in.
He came in.
Where is he?
Down the cellar.
What's he doing?
Nothing.
Did he say he'd be up soon?
No.
Maybe you'd better go down and get him.
He's dead.
Oh, he's dead.
You said the woman loves the strongest and the smartest. Well, I'm stronger and smarter.
But you are human.
I'm almost human, Lola.
No. Oh, stay away.
Lola.
All those metal hands. Don't touch me.
I love you, Lola.
No.
I love you.
No.
I love you.
No.
I love you.
The last thing she heard.
You.
Was the robot's harsh voice droning it over and over again.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
And strangely enough, it did sound almost human.
You have just heard the Robert Bloch story titled Almost Human. Another adventure into the unknown world of the future. The world of... Dimension X.
Next week, a strange story of other worlds. The story of the lost race.
Tonight's adventure in Dimension X was adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Santos Ortega as Duke, Rita Lynn as Lola, and Jackie Grimes as Junior. Your host was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman, engineer Bill Chambers. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King.
During the months to come, General Mills is planned to bring radio listeners an excitingly new half-hour show each weekday evening. Two of these shows have already joined the Wheaties Big Parade. On Mondays, it's Night Beat, and on Wednesdays, you'll hear Dangerous Assignment. More to come in the Wheaties Big Parade of NBC shows will be Sarah's Private Eye, Dimension X, and the Texas Rangers. You'll hear all of them in the Wheaties Big Parade of NBC shows.
And that brings us to a very thought-provoking and dramatic end of Savage Science Radio this week. Our seismology report and the implications for Japan is going to have to be next week because the information that I requested from the university has not come through yet, although there is an approval, so I should be getting that this week. And I would like to thank Nick Palucco for the fantastic show graphics. I would like to thank Dennis Bond for the wonderful introduction that I use every single week. And I just love hearing Orson Welles, you know, voice in the beginning. It sort of gets me primed. And his company, Hawk Productions. And I would like to thank Walid Al-Haddad, who helps me find these fantastic stories that I bring to you each week. And my illustrious executive producer, Todd Sheets, the big kahuna of Jackalope 105 FM. So, until next week, keep your powder in your pants dry, and happy trails to you.
Sunday.